Hey guys, welcome back for another monthly recap. It's going to be March 2024, and it's also the end of Q1. So hopefully everyone had a great quarter. Business is still booming for me, for Best Buy in particular. I would say it was not quite as good as last month, but it was still a pretty solid month. And before I get started, I just wanted to say I am kind of running out of ideas for things to talk about on the podcast. So one idea I had was if anyone out there wants to be a guest for the next episode, I think I want to experiment with doing that. So if anyone has like a really cool trip that they went on that they want to talk about, feel free to reach out to me and we can record an episode together. Or if anyone has any interesting topics to talk about that I don't normally cover, I think I'm pretty heavy into buying groups, but if anyone has any like other stuff that they're doing, like I know a lot of people out there are really into sports books and gaming casino promotions. So if you're involved in anything like that, I think ticket reselling is another one that I've heard of people doing. If anyone is doing those things and wants to talk about them, I'd be happy to have you on. So yeah, if you're interested in any of those things, feel free to hit me up on Slack or email me and we can schedule time to record something together. Okay, so moving on to the monthly recap, before I get into all the buying group activities, I did want to talk about my Bank of America business checking bonus. So if you recall from a few months ago, I talked about how I signed up for this business checking account and there was an offer to deposit $30,000 and hold it for 90 days and get a $1,000 bonus. At the time, I was a little bit hesitant on that because that's not the greatest ROI. I mean, it's still decent, but if you think about like what you can do with that money in churning, sometimes it's good to have a lot of extra capital. But another thing I was thinking was that if I have 30K in deposits with Bank of America, then they might be more inclined to approve me for their business credit cards. So in summary for that, they didn't seem to be any more inclined to approve me. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people talking about how having more deposits is good. And yeah, I do have a personal checking account as well. Some people say like deposit $5,000 in the personal checking. I think the personal checking probably does help, but I'm pretty sure that this additional 30K, it didn't seem to make much difference. I still got denied a lot. But the bigger problem with this one was that they didn't give me the bonus on time based on all the data points that I've seen on Doctor of Credit. So I completed my 30K deposit sometime in November, and I was already seeing people that signed up in December were already getting their $1,000. So towards the end of March, I was like, all right, something is up. I need to figure out what happened here. And so when I had originally applied for this promotion, it was a targeted offer when logged into my online banking. It was under the rewards and deals section where there was a link to click on something that said earn $1,000. And so what I did that and, you know, I fulfilled all the requirements and stuff, but I didn't follow up to make sure that the promotion was attached. So I have heard of some people like getting a letter in the mail saying that they had that offer and to make sure to fulfill the requirements. And I've also heard that it is a good idea to chat with them to make sure that the promotion is applied. So I didn't do any of those things. I didn't get a letter in the mail. I didn't really read about all that stuff until after I should have gotten the bonus. So yeah, I ended up calling Bank of America a few times. So the first time I called, the person just said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I can't find that promotion anywhere. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll call back again. And the second person I talked to said, okay, yeah, I think I can find that promotion. Let me just talk to my supervisor and I'll get back to you. And they never did after like a week. And then the third time I called, the person seemed to be a bit more helpful. And they're like, okay, yeah, I can find this promotion. It's here and you should have gotten that money. So I just need to submit a request to the backend team for them to give you the money and I'll send you an email. And I thought that sounded promising, but I waited like 3 or 4 days and I didn't get any email. So I thought that was kind of strange that they didn't send me the email like they had promised. And it was this point that I thought that, you know, it does seem like we might be getting somewhere, but it also doesn't seem like we are. It seems like everyone I talk to says that they're going to get it to me, but they never really do. And I mean, this is $1,000 we're talking about here. So this is quite a bit of money, and it's not something that I would want to just wait several weeks and all this back and forth. So after Googling a bit more about Bank of America and some issues that people were having, I came across this Reddit post of this person that had kind of a similar problem. This person didn't seem like a churner, but they had applied for some promotion. I don't remember what it was, and they didn't get it. And what they did was they emailed the CEO, and their executive team was able to respond and work it out with them. And so this seems interesting. Like, why don't I just email the CEO? And I've actually seen, you know, a lot of people talking about that, like it's kind of a joke. Like, oh, Amex didn't give me my $10 wireless credit on time. Should I email the CEO? But apparently that's actually a thing with a lot of companies where if you email the CEO or email some executive like in their C-suite, that person does have a team of people who will work to respond to all of those complaints. So yeah, this is what I did. I emailed the CEO. I attached like all these screenshots of the promotion and explained how I signed up for this offer that I clicked on when I was logged into my account, but I didn't get the bonus. And the next day, I got a phone call around 5 or 6 p.m. from this guy in their executive relations team. Unfortunately, I missed the call, but he left me a voicemail that said like, yeah, I got your message and I saw that you fulfilled all the requirements for this bonus, but for some reason it didn't get applied, but I have submitted a request for it to be approved and you should get the money in 7 to 10 business days. And yeah, I thought, wow, that's great. Like, it seems like I'm actually going to get this money without any more complaints. And like I said, I missed that call on Tuesday. And then the guy called me back again on Wednesday. And this time I was able to answer the phone call. And he was really nice. He was like, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you got my message. You know, really sorry that you didn't get your bonus on time. And you should get it in 7 to 10 days. So yeah, it was a really good experience from emailing the CEO. I was all ready to file my Consumer Finance and Protection Bureau complaint, and I was also kind of getting ready to go to small claims court. I thought that might be kind of fun and make for some good content. I think it would be an interesting case, and I've actually heard of some people being denied this bonus because Bank of America said that they weren't targeted for it. And really, I don't have a way to prove that I was targeted. I mean, I just clicked through this offer that was available to me in my online banking, and I don't screen record every action I do on my laptop, so there's no real way to show that I'd clicked through that offer. And evidently, the Bank of America IT didn't pick that up either, so it would kind of be my word against theirs. And my argument would be, well, I clicked through this offer and I deposited $30,000 specifically for this promotion. So I wouldn't have done that unless I saw that I had this offer and I was trying to fulfill the requirements for that. And this was a considerable investment that I made. It tied up a good amount of liquidity that I could have used when doing all this buying group stuff in Black Friday and Apple Vision Pro and all of that. So it really would have sucked if I didn't get that bonus. And yeah, I am happy that I was able to get that without any more work. So the next topic that I have before I get into buying groups is that I am going to try to get executive platinum status with American this year. It does seem like a good side project for me. So the loyalty point qualification year just started on March 1st. And my plan was to try to get it as quickly as possible so that I'll have status for most of this year and then all of next year. And then the status goes all the way until April 1st of the following year. So I don't need to re-qualify again next year if I don't want to, and then just go for it again in 2026. We'll see how it goes for this year. It's not just about getting the status, it's also about getting the miles. The American Airlines award chart is probably one of the best ones right now. It's one of the only ones that hasn't been heavily devalued in the last few years. It's really good for flights to Europe. It's only 57.5K miles in business class, and all the bookings are fully refundable when you book with miles. So I think a good strategy for flights to and from Europe is to have an itinerary booked with American Airlines miles. And then you can look for the last-minute availability to see if anything better opens up, like maybe Lufthansa First Class. And American is also really good at handling mixed partner awards, whereas Alaska, you can only book on one partner plus Alaska or just that one partner. I don't know if that kind of thing is possible with Avios or Asia Miles. It probably requires calling and getting someone good on the phone. And even then, the price is going to be a lot higher than if you booked with American Miles. So one example is that we're thinking about going to Morocco this fall. And so one booking that I made just for like speculation, we're not even sure if we're going yet, but what it is from Agadir, which is like a beach town in Morocco, to London Gatwick on British Airways, and then an overnight layover in London, then a flight from London Heathrow to Dallas on American, and then finally a flight from Dallas to Portland on Alaska. So all of that was able to be booked for 57.5K miles plus like $100 in fees, which is really good value. And then on top of that, it's fully refundable, like I said before. So I'm kind of looking forward to having a decent stash of American miles. So I did try to get a second American Airlines Business Platinum card, but they denied me, saying that I could only have one card. And so I thought, okay, maybe they mean that's one per business, so why don't I just apply with one of my LLCs? But then the second application was denied for the, application velocity rules. It's been a long time since I've looked at those rules, but I think it's like you can only have one business card every 90 days, and then I think denials do count against you. So I wanted to get a second card to accelerate my spending on that, but I think it'll be okay with just the one card. That card does have a 16K credit limit. And at first I thought, oh, well, why don't I just spend all 200K in the first month? And I started kind of working towards that, but then I thought, that's a pretty bad idea. They're probably just going to shut me down for cycling it too hard. And I've even read some data points that say it's best to not cycle it at all. I do have a trip on Alaska in a couple weeks, so I don't think I'll get the status by then anyway, but it would be nice to get it before my trip in July. So I am exploring other avenues besides just the 16K per month that I can do with the credit card. So I'm looking at the American shopping portal, and I've already done the Motley Fool and the Million Acres. That's like 6,000 or 7,000 points for each of those. And then I also just did the Blue Apron, which is 5,000 points. And that was a pretty good deal, actually. You don't even need a promo code or try to stack it with anything else. If you just do the regular first box offer, it was like $51 for 16 servings, which is a pretty good value. And then you also get the 5,000 miles on top of that. I would say, though, that Blue Apron is worse than HelloFresh, in my opinion. The meat is just a little bit tougher, and the portions are smaller. The slices of salmon that they gave us were almost comical. They were like 1 inch wide for each serving, so it was just like this little strip. But we usually get 4 servings per meal just to make sure that it's enough food for dinner, and then ideally we'd have a little bit of leftovers for lunch for the next day. It usually works out to just about right. We usually eat like a little bit more than 2 servings for dinner, and then a bit less than 2 servings for lunch the next day. I do like the meal kits because you don't have to plan, and they just deliver the food all to your door, so you don't have to shop for it either. But I think they do get a bit repetitive after a while. Like, you can't eat that stuff every single day. Probably the most that we could do would be one box every 2 weeks. And with inflation and the rising costs of food, it is a pretty good way to save money. Originally, when I first heard the Daily Churn talk about meal kits and how he likes to try to keep the cost per serving under $5, That sounded like a lot to me at the time, but nowadays, when we're kind of working out the math for how much it costs to get our groceries for the week, it usually does come out to around $4 or $5 per serving. And when you take into account the cost of the gas to drive there and also your time when shopping at the grocery store, that's usually a pretty good deal. So I don't know if this offer is churnable, but I think we'll do the Blue Apron once and then the HelloFresh once and then maybe try the Blue Apron again and see if it works. And then the other thing I've been looking at is planning a trip to Cambodia. That one is a bit more risky, I've heard. There have been some pretty good deals for booking a hotel through the AA Hotels portal. I don't know if I can really talk too much about that, but there are some deals to be had there. Okay, so moving on to buying groups, and it was a pretty good month for buying groups on Best Buy. So the first thing that I did was the PlayStation portals from Best Buy, and for this one, I did put in a considerable investment of $300 into a subnet of 256 proxies. I'm still not entirely sure if those are necessary, but I was kind of trying around with some other proxies that didn't work, so I think it was good to have that. And then also, I did need to use my parents' address for this one. I tried like pretty hard to get something to my home address, but it couldn't work. And so I ended up ordering 200 of these portals to my parents' house. The reason I just did 200 was that that was about what my commitment limit was with buyinggroup.com. I don't know, their limits are a bit annoying sometimes, especially since now they still have more capacity for the portals. So I feel like for this kind of hard to get item, it should just be unlimited. But anyway, so I just ordered 200 all at once on the same day. But when they started getting delivered, they were all delivered by UPS, but all 200 were not delivered on the same day. They were spread out across like 3 or 4 days. So this was a bit annoying. I think this was just because they didn't have enough room in the truck for all of them. You know, the truck has to have room for other people's packages as well that are on that route. And then for whatever reason, 15 out of the 200 packages just didn't show up at all. If I go to check the tracking on the UPS website, it still says out for delivery or arriving today. And so when I messaged the Best Buy support about this, and I did this for all 15 of my packages, they denied me a refund because they thought it was delivered. And they told me a bunch of things like to go file a police report or stuff like that and check to see if it was delivered to a neighbor. And all of this was very strange because if you just go on the UPS website, it clearly says not delivered. So yeah, I mean, I don't think I really had any choice but to just file a chargeback with Amex. And it was pretty easy to do the chargeback. I thought it might be hard because I had 200 charges and 15 of them I needed to dispute, but they were able to cross-reference the order numbers with the charges. And they didn't even ask for any proof from me to say that the items were not delivered. They just said that the burden of proof is on Best Buy to say that they were, which is going to be very difficult for them when the UPS tracking still says it was not delivered. So after doing this procedure, I was a little bit worried that it was too easy because there are some bad actors out there that are not doing this legitimately. And so I'm hoping that this doesn't have any negative implications towards my Amex accounts, but I feel like I have enough volume on there that wasn't charged back. I mean, if you just look at this one item, I mean, 15 out of 200. So it is kind of a drop in the bucket in terms of the total volume that I'm doing, but it's good that I went through this experience. And another thing was that I was thinking of starting to use Best Buy gift cards at some point, because you can buy those in combination with fuel points for a pretty good discount. But if I had done that for these, then I would just have no recourse. So it would need to be factored into the overall risk. And then when I went to go pick up all these packages from my parents' house, I decided to rent a U-Haul van just to make sure that I had enough space. I didn't want to get too over my head and not be able to fit everything in one trip. And I was also thinking that this would allow me to leave all of the portals inside their original boxes just in case I didn't have enough time. So it was a bit of an experiment renting the U-Haul van. So I went and picked it up, and it only took a few minutes to get the van, and then I drove it over to my parents' house. I did try to start unboxing the packages, but it was just taking taking too long. It probably took me about 30 seconds for each package, and that includes like unboxing it, breaking down the boxes, and cleaning up all of the plastic and stuff. So that wouldn't be a huge deal for like 5 or 6 items, but for 200, that is a considerable amount of time, and I just didn't have that much time. You know, it was during working hours, and I had to get back to my real job. And then it was like the warehouse closes at 3 for drop-offs. So I was just running out of time. I did unbox like 20 of them, but then the rest I just loaded into the van. And then I dropped all of the packages off inside their original boxes with my tracking numbers uploaded to the system. And then the next day they just scanned them all in for me, which was nice. It was a little bit funny when I showed up with my U-Haul van. Some of the staff were a bit confused trying to tell me that I was at the wrong place. And the security guard was like, "Who do you work for?" And I was just like, "No, all these packages are mine." So yeah, overall, the U-Haul experience, I think it was worth it. But now that I can kind of tell how big the PlayStation Portal boxes are, they are actually kind of small. And I think I would be able to fit about 150 of them into my car. I just have like a small compact SUV, I guess you would call it. But I think the main thing was the time savings and not having to unbox all the packages. And then also you do have to figure out a place to recycle all the cardboard. I could only really fit like 30 or so boxes into the bin that we have like for recycling. So I think this was a pretty good experience just to kind of test my limits and how many packages I can handle. So I was laying off the portals for a while just because I only had a commitment limit of like 40 or something, and that's just not worth the trip to my parents' house. But I did notice that buyinggroup.com did just up it to 160, at least for me, so that might be worth it. I don't know, we'll see if it comes back in stock at Best Buy. So that was PlayStation Portals, and then the next thing for this month was there were some pretty good laptop deals in the first 2 weeks of March. They were mostly on buyinggroup.com, but there were a couple of deals on PointsMaker as well. So I am starting to get pretty comfortable with dropshipping these laptops. The only thing is getting those commitments in, because they always fill up in like maybe 5 minutes, and you really just gotta be fast. And sometimes they even post them like late at night, and you just kind of have to be up for that. So I'm thinking that this is my main limitation right now. It's not really ordering the laptops. It's just whether or not I can get commitments. So there are a few ideas that I have for this. One is that I've heard that Best Buy usually releases their sales for the week at Sundays at 10 p.m. Pacific. And then there have been a few cases when buyinggroup.com has released the deal maybe at 11 p.m. or midnight Pacific. So that's one thing. And then another thing that people have been chattering about in the Discord is a commitment bot. So I don't know if that is a joke or not. I don't know what they're doing. I don't have access to that bot, but I have built up my own bot that kind of works, I think. I'm not like a professional coder or anything, but I think it does more or less work. There haven't been any new deals where I would want it to work on yet, and I'm sure I could change the logic of it so that I could test it out better, but like I said, I'm not a pro, but maybe I should put a little bit more work into it. I think the other thing is just you kind of got to be around and always checking notifications on your phone in the Discord. I'm almost wondering if it might be worth investing in an Apple Watch so that I can get the notifications on my wrist. But still, like, if I'm in the shower or taking a nap or something, I would just totally miss out on that deal if it dropped at that time. There was one laptop deal this month where the commitments didn't fill up immediately, and I actually posted about that one in the Slack. That was a pretty good deal. I ended up getting 57 of those laptops. So hopefully more of that kind of thing can come back instead of all these like really limited quantity deals. If we could get more deals on Amazon devices at Best Buy, that would be huge as well. If you recall from my last episode, I did pretty well on the Echo Dot speakers. So maybe it's just a matter of being patient and waiting for better deals to come. And then for PointsMaker, how their system works is it's like a Google form that you fill out. But for every deal, there's a max quantity of like 20 or 25. So for all the Best Buy laptop deals for this month, I just did the max for one account, whatever that was. But I am considering making more accounts. And this is something that I probably should have thought of earlier. And I'm wondering how many people are doing this. Like, if you can have like a few hundred Best Buy accounts, why didn't you think of doing that for these buying group websites? But I'm not sure if that's such a great idea, because what if they find out and they decide not to pay you? That might be kind of awkward, but I think you could probably at least make an account for your player too. However, for buyinggroup.com, I'm not sure if it makes sense to do that, because your max commitment is tied to your total volume. So the more volume that you bring in, the more commitments you'll get. So I'm not sure if making a new account just to get like a couple extra commitments is worth it. So in total for this month, I ended up getting 150 laptops, and that was about 100K in spend. This was all just in the first 2 weeks of March, and it's been pretty dry ever since. But then towards the end of the month, I did try to get some Apple MacBooks shipped to my house. This always does feel kind of hopeless, but I decided to give it a try anyway. And I was able to get 6 of them shipped to my house, which was not bad, but for the amount of work that I put in, you know, I did try pretty hard for these. I probably put in close to 100 orders to try to get these through. And I'm still not really sure how I did it. I feel like I just did the same thing 100 times and somehow 6 of those orders went through. However, I only did 1 per order on this because I thought that it might be easier. But now that I'm looking back, I think I probably should have just ordered the max per order. I think the likelihood of getting your order in is not proportional to the quantity, if that makes sense. So I think the math works out better if you just do the max. So after this, I was a bit hopeless, but I decided to give it a shot anyway for the Apple Watches, which were on sale. Those ones I'm going to include in next month's tally because it was at the end of the month. But I was able to get 50 watches through. And so what I'm learning from this is that it can be kind of frustrating to be getting your orders constantly canceled. But don't give up hope. If you feel like you're hitting a wall, just take a break, give it like 24 hours, maybe order a slightly different color or size for your Apple Watch. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm not going to do any more A/B testing to try to figure out which proxies work better or there's any kind of rhyme or reason as to why one account gets an order through and another one doesn't. If a deal comes, I'm just going to put in my orders, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and can always try again later with something else. I think I'm done trying to make sense of Best Buy's cancellation algorithm for Apple products. I've just tried so many different variations of my address and proxies, new accounts versus old accounts, and yeah, I'm just done with that. It just doesn't make any sense. So there were a few more smaller deals that I did for this month. One of them was that PlayStation 5 Spider-Man thing that was on sale for Walmart at $449. That was a pretty good deal. I ended up getting like 20 or so of those. The sale lasted for about a week, actually, before buyinggroup.com finally said that we were not going to take any more of these. And then there was also a drop for the PlayStation portals at Walmart towards the end of the month, and I ended up getting 26 during that drop, and I drop shipped all those for Walmart. I posted about this on Slack as well, where I think that Walmart drops their PlayStation portals at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. And again, I think for Walmart, it is good to have your accounts aged pretty well. I haven't really figured out much beyond that. I can't really seem to be getting anything through when I'm using my proxies. So I just run everything on my home internet and just all in manual mode. I have about 5 or 6 accounts that are in good shape for this. I would ideally like to have more. I do have like 50 or 60 that were created about 2 months ago, I think. But I'm not sure if those accounts will be usable because they were created with a proxy. So yeah, I'm kind of stuck on Walmart. Not really sure if I'm going to be able to get much more with them. It doesn't seem like they have deals very often anyway, at least right now. So I've been thinking about trying to scale up my Amazon activities. That has also not been going very well yet. But I'll probably talk about that in the next month's episode because I'm still sort of in the early stages with that. And then there was another sale on B&H for the MacBook Airs. There was some buzz on the Discord about that. Apparently some people were having success with that. I tried to put in a bunch of orders and they all got canceled except for one. I think best practice there is to just do one per order. I think everything that's two per order gets flagged immediately. And then you probably just have to put in a bunch of orders and hope for the best. So in total from Best Buy and B&H Photo for the laptops and PlayStation portals, it was $131,570 worth of spend. These were all earning 4x on the business gold and then also stacking with the spend 4,000 get 15,000 points offer. So again, that's 7.75x, and if you value those at 1.2, that is 9.2% cash back. So from the Best Buy spend, that was a profit of $12,104. I've already maxed out two of my business golds now, and I have one more that has that 4K, 15K offer. After that, I do have one other card that has some cards at that 2K, 5K. So yeah, this 9.2% at Best Buy will not continue forever, but it will continue for a little bit more, and it's been going really well so far. And then at Walmart, I spent $17,387, and that was just on the PlayStation 5s and the PlayStation portals. For those, I just get the 1x base spend and then the 3.75x for those 99x offers. So it works out to 5.7% cash back in total. And that was $991. Moving on to Amazon, it was a pretty slow month for me on Amazon. Like I said before, I do not use max out deals, so I'm a bit more limited in the deals that I do. It's all exclusively buyinggroup.com. There was just some Apple Watch deals and iPads and AirPods Pro that were good. It ended up being $14,000 worth of spend, and it was minus $200 below cost. So after the 5% and the minus $200, it worked out to $710 in profit. However, this month I did have my first missing items case with Amazon. What happened was I ordered three Apple Watches in two different colors and they only sent one of each color. So right now I am out four Apple Watches. As most people probably know, you can't get a refund from Amazon when they don't deliver your stuff because they've marked the buying groups as freight forwarders. However, for buyinggroup.com, they do cover those kind of miscount or lost packages, at least for Amazon. I know for Walmart, they do not cover miscounts, so you kind of got to be careful there. But I've already filed missing items case for a missing Chromecast and a missing Echo Dot. And both of those were when I shipped it from my house to the warehouse. And they covered both of those, so I am pretty confident that they're going to cover me for these Apple Watches. But if they don't, I will be counting that as a loss for next month. It was about a $1,000 loss. But in another order on an entirely different account, I had ordered three Apple Watches and they sent me four. So this was a pretty lucky bank error in my favor, I guess, just a free Apple Watch. I'm wondering if this Apple Watch might be someone else's who ended up getting a miscount in their box. Although I'm pretty sure it's not a zero-sum game. I'm pretty sure there are more losses than gains in this kind of thing. But yeah, this was like an extra $184, I guess. So in total from Amazon, Best Buy, and Walmart, it was $163,000 of spend, and with that was a $13,805 profit. If you think in points terms, it was 1.1 million membership rewards points plus the $700 profit from Amazon. That wasn't all profit. I do also need to include my expenses. So like I said, it was $300 for that subnet of proxies. And then all of my other subscriptions were about another $100. So it was $400 in expenses for the month in total. And so that brings the net profit to $13,405 for this month. And that was pretty much it for this month. I didn't apply for any credit cards again. I actually did apply for some Bank of America credit cards, but I just got denied for all of them again. They got denied for being a duplicate, But then my last card application for them was back in January, so I don't know why they're still counting that as a duplicate. I feel like the cooldown period used to be a lot shorter. It wasn't this long. I wonder if now it's like 90 days or something. So yeah, this was a really good month for me again, mainly for buying groups, although it did have its ups and downs. I feel like those three bad things that happened to me all came at the same time. So I was minus $1,000 with Bank of America. I was minus $3,000 with Best Buy refusing to refund the portals that didn't make it. And then minus 1,000 on Amazon for those Apple Watches. I still am minus 1,000, at least for those. So this stuff definitely does come with its stresses, but hopefully there are more ups than downs. And I think the strategy for me is just to keep scaling the things that are already working. And so far, that would just be non-Apple laptops from Best Buy and then also the Echo Dot smart speakers. So I think now I'm just going to be patient, wait for some good deals, and then just try to hit those a lot harder instead of trying to make something happen with all these other deals. I will try to put in my orders for Apple Watches and MacBooks to my house, like I said, but not really expecting much from those. And like I said, I feel like all of my Best Buy activity from this month came in the first 2 weeks of the month. So it's just all about, being there with your laptop, having your cards ready to go, and being able to press that commit button on the buyinggroup.com website. But yeah, I'm hoping things pick back up in the next couple weeks. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, if you are interested in being a guest on the podcast, don't hesitate to reach out. That's all I got for this episode. Thanks for listening, and until next time.